Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, too. Sirius, about the racing this weekend, and we will preview it top to bottom. Going to have a wonderful lineup. You may have seen that I was out promoting early. About an hour ago, as we firmed up a terrific set of guests to help you with, particularly, obviously, the challenge racing going on. Belmont and Keeneland. It is Keeneland opening day. Got to be excited about that, and I hope it's as nice there as it is here. It's always, I think a little more. I think if you have to pick between Keeneland Spring and Keeneland Fall, the fall, the racing is equally compelling, but I think the fall is the way to go. Much less chance of it being 36 degrees with with freezing rain in October than it is in April. Terrific lineup, and the racing continues to be pulled together for the weekend. We've got Monday racing draws at New York and California for the Columbus Day holiday, if you're still allowed to call it Columbus Day. They're Indians because some white guy got lost. My favorite line from one of many great lines from Quiz Show. The Friday racing, in addition to Keeneland's opening day, which is good enough, the Phoenix and the Alcibiades, you've also got week two of Stronach 5, Magnum 5. The sequence is murder. I put together a ticket, and I have zero confidence. The race at Calder at Gulfstream West is murky as can be. It's a maiden 16, and I don't know. I mean, the two races at Laurel, I think they're very approachable and reasonable, and the races at Santa Anita are just good. And you know, I think there's a couple of clear players in the opening leg, which goes off at 5:03, Santa Anita third, and I think Imperial Creed, Michael McCarthy's horse, and Jeff Bondi, Queen of the Track. Those seem like the two. And if you have a small ticket, you probably are going to stop there and just try to use those two to get going. And if there's a third that you want to use, it's probably the 5, Spicy Curry. We'll see what Hammer might think later. And we will obviously go over everything happening out there. The Sprint Championship and more. The other leg, the anchor leg at Santa Anita, the fifth race, I'm inclined to really lean heavily on Simple Man, the Rafael Becerra More Than Ready gelding. And I, right now, the way I've got it structured before scratches and everything, I've got Simple Man as a single to try to end with a single. Everybody hates ending a sequence with a single, but you got to do it somewhere sometimes, and that might be the spot. So anyway, Stronach 5. If that's not enough for you as a option, there is a circumstance in New York that is worth noting. The pick six carryover, a 2-day pick six carryover, for starters at Belmont. And then, if that isn't enough, on the Naira Bets platform, the opportunity to go after, I think this is the second time that the Naira Bets late pick five has carried over. A $49,000 pot in the Naira Bets pick five, $106,000 in the pick six, two-day carryover at Belmont. And it is a really strong card, actually, top to bottom, even ahead of tomorrow's stakes action. The pick six sequence, a 20-claimer with seven, then a state-bred two-year-old filly turf route with nine, a maiden special, three and ups going a mile with six, some fancy horses, Chad Brown, Jonathan Thomas, Todd Pletcher, Jimmy Jerkins, Shug McGahee. Second half of the sequence, 12-horse field, state-bred allowance on the turf, one of my favorites, regularly produces big prices. Starter allowance on the inner turf, six furlongs, group of eight, and then a 12-horse maiden 40 state breds going seven on the grass, fillies and mares. This is a tough sequence, and I had not expected to have to dig into it, but I will. I've got the Keeneland pick four that I pulled together and a Magna play. I'm sorry, I cannot call it this. It's just when I go to say it, Magna 5 comes out of my mouth. I can't help it. The Keeneland sequence, the late pick four today, a lot of fun. That allowance race that starts at the 7th, Majestic Eagle, Neil Drysdale, who's got nice horses running all over the place. Majestic Eagle, your 7-2 favorite. There's a first-time North America for Graham Motion, and very strong angle, of course, when Graham Motion gets these types. Wertheimer and Frere, Argentic. But there's a lot of options to start that late pick four at Keeneland. We will talk to Marty McGee. Marty will be first. And in fact, let me tell you everybody, in case you didn't see the blockbuster lineup, Marty McGee will join us first. Jay Pribman, of course, talk to Jay, get some impressions from Jay when it comes to last week's classic preps in particular. See where Jay's thoughts are, and the glamour division, the two-year-old males. See who he discussed things with, the Bob Baffert, undoubtedly, and Jerry Hollendorfer and more. Nick Tamaro to help us with the New York card. Go through it with Nick. And we got a pair of Nicks. Nick Luck is, of course, at Keeneland to help with the NBC telecast. 2 days of NBC broadcast, both Saturday and Sunday at Keeneland. And they'll also pull racing in from New York, including the Champagne tomorrow. We had Lafitte and Craig Walker last night on the Stats Racelens seminar. A lot of fun. And Lafitte will join us. He's tromping the backstretch right now at Keeneland, up and down the hill. And we'll talk to Lafitte before we wrap up today, get his thoughts going into the weekend. Dave Greinig of the Daily Racing Form, of course. Hammer and Scully and DeRosa. So there is your lineup going into the weekend, and have just started to be able to look at DRF past performances of the prospects, the potential contenders for the Daily Racing Form. Appreciate them getting the PP packages together, so you can start to just, you know, have a feel for what we're looking at. And everywhere this weekend, looking forward to virtually every division being contested. Haven't had a chance really to dig into the Sunday card, the Flower Bowl, and the Frisette and the Futurity. We'll let Dave Grenig walk us through that. The Keeneland action, the Bourbon, the Indian Summer, the new two-year-old turf sprint, and the Spinster, the L.A. Woman in the Swing Time. And then into Monday, today they'll draw the Knickerbocker, the Matron at Belmont. You know, the Futurity, which in recent years, the Futurity and the Matron, the long running, you know, those are races that go back to the 1800s. And the Futurity drew up a big group. So we'll see about the Matron, the filly version. And at Santa Anita, Hammer will put together the Surfer Girl and the Zuma Beach. He sent me the picture of the Zuma Beach surfboard, which is in his office. The greatest trophy in sports. The Woodlawn Vase may be the most valuable. But the surfboards for the Surfer Girl and the Zuma Beach, they may be the most sought after. That was funny. Was that Wednesday? I got to bring it up with Hammer. I made Hollendorfer laugh about winning the autographed basketball in that starter allowance, the starter handicap that Hammer runs for the NCAAs, the March Madness. Because there's the Super Bowl one that he does, and then there's the one for the NCAAs. And everybody in the racing office comes in and autographs the ball. So, you know, Metal Lark Lemon might be on there. And I mentioned Bob Cousy. Hollendorfer got a kick out of that. And by the way, mentioning Vasilika makes me think to mention the maiden today at Keeneland. Did you notice that Vasilisa, this is the full sister, the skip shot full sister to Vasilika, is running in the 10th today at Keeneland, 5-1 for Mikhail Yannikov. And I don't think this one will be dangled in a maiden race anytime soon, in a maiden claimer or a claimer of any kind. Full sister. How about that? So this should be a lot of fun. It'll be a all-out capping gab fest. There's a race, too, I'm going to mention. You know, Masochistic went back into light training. Kristen Mulhall, he absolutely did not want to be retired. And Kristen Mulhall tried everything and finally had to bring him back to the racetrack. And it became noted over the summer that he was, you know, just hanging around and being kept at the racetrack because he was climbing the walls. And he's going to run at Fresno in the Harris Farm tomorrow. 7th race, FYI. Back after this, we'll get going. Marty McGee from Keeneland.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Listos.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on the ship. Tied to her mast, two distant lands, takes both my hands, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back at the races. Golden Brown actually running in the Hill Prince tomorrow, the grade two for the three-year-olds on the turf. We're going to go to Keeneland, and the turf took a good soaking overnight, apparently, and might be less than firm today. Marty McGee is ready to kick off the Keeneland season. Good morning.
In the house, Vic. I'm in the house.
I very much enjoy when I get you on I-64. That's always fun.
Yeah, I used to do that. It's too much... Yeah, you're not supposed to do that, Vic. Talk on the phone and drive. You know
I suggested last night that maybe I would reach you at the halfway point, the famous exit.
Wadi Peytona. However, much to our chagrin, about 10 years ago, it became Peytona Wadi, which really throws off your rhythm. I think Peytona's bigger than Wadi, and they threw a flag on it.
I love that. It's just fun to say, Wadi Peytona. Marty, we're looking forward to the Fall Stars weekend, and certainly the entry box cooperated, and not just the stakes. The maiden races are dynamite. Horses coming in from Ellis and Kentucky Downs and Saratoga and points all over the place on the compass. And we kick it off today with the Alcibiades and the Phoenix, and just six horses in the Phoenix, but boy, it's competitive.
Down to five. Distinctive B stayed home for Peter Miller. He's going to run this weekend at Santa Anita. They needed him worse than we needed him here, evidently. So it is a good field nonetheless. With the five, you still got Limousine Liberal, Whitmore, and Promises Fulfilled, and what else do you need? So that's a good race. That's race 8 of 10 today on the Overt, which starts at 105 Eastern. The feature is the ninth race that follows the Grade 1 Alcibiades. These are the first two winning you're in, the first two Fall Stars weekend races of a huge weekend, as you mentioned, Steve, ahead of us. And I was in Louisville. I drove up early this morning, but there were a couple of people noting on Twitter that they had quite a backside flood going on this morning in a couple of the barns, and So hopefully that's all been remedied. But the infield did take a soaking. The clockers up here in the press box said that they had not seen standing water in the infield all summer. And I can see some right now from my vantage point. And they are going to run all four turf races today on the turf. They've listed it currently as soft. I don't know if it took that much to make it soft, but we will have an off turf course, so to speak. But all of them are on right now.
How about that? So it must have really, wow. Well, under that circumstance, be very aware. We'll talk about the Shadwell and the First Lady in a second. The sand-based turf course at Keeneland, no matter what the footing is, when you see horses that have run well over it, you know, you take a special note. And the off-going, if it's yielding and less, make special note of horses that like that. So we'll touch on that when we talk about the two grade ones tomorrow. First, I want to get your Alcibiades thoughts, because this is a big, bulky field, and Ken McPeak certainly has made this a target, and Restless Rider feels like the most likely type in here.
Yeah, I've got her picked. I mean, I won't necessarily lay it in on her, but, she's done nothing wrong after that terrific debutante victory to close out the Churchill Spring Meet. Kenny has been pointing to these two races, the Alcibiades and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, with the one interim race, which was a good one, for runner-up effort in the Grade 1 Spinaway at Saratoga. She's well drawn here in post three. As of 9 o'clock, Steve, we had no scratches, so we're going to presume that both the 15 Champagne Anyone and 16 Korea are out, leaving us with still a big field of 14. Brian Hernandez, I cannot understate what a good jockey, underrated jockey he is. He ought to get a nice trip in here. This filly's fast. I happened to be here to see her breeze on Monday with Brian up, and she went real easy, and Kenny, understandably, was really happy with her. So she will be favored, and I think deservedly so in here. I think Catherine the Great will run better than she did in the spinaway, and Reflect, number one, for Keith DeSormo. The timing's good for her. She was just okay in both the Sereno and the spinaway, but I think the one hole could help her, and Jimmy Graham has the mount on her.
Well, and I'll give you three price horses to consider. Maloik, that I thought was very notable, John Service, and Bougie Girl, the Miller, 6-1. Maloik is 12-1, and Into Trouble, the Ben Colebrook, I think is sneaky in here, 15-1.
Yeah, he told me, she's done nothing wrong. They didn't expect her to win the Arlington Washington Lassie. That was over the Poly. And like a lot of these fillies, she is going two turns for the first time. So we'll see. Yeah, as always, Steve, this is such an interesting race. It takes as we move forward to the juvenile fillies and all the Breeders' Cup races. They'll run this race today, and then in a minute and 40-something, and then we'll take hours and hours to dissect it afterward and just kind of figure out who did well and who didn't.
Well, let's turn to Saturday, and we're going to talk later to Nick Luck and to Lafitte Pinkai III. NBC is on site. They will host broadcast both Saturday and Sunday, and the action, virtually everything, I think even is the Woodford? I guess the Woodford isn't a win and you're in for the turf sprint, but let's start there, though, and this is a big, bulky group, and you've got some of the familiar turf sprint players like Undrafted and Buchero for Tim Gleishaw, but it's a good group in here, there's any number that could win.
Buchero hasn't, I wrote this in my advance about the race, Buchero has not won in seven starts since he won the Woodford here last fall at 26-1, but it's kind of ironic. His subsequent races have proven that was not a fluke, and I've made him my best bet in here. I think Rocket Heat is going to go out and have an open lead, and if Buchero and De La Cruz, who's underrated too in my opinion, can just secure a nice ground-saving trip from a few lengths behind him and stay clear until they straighten away, I think he's going to run another big one. So I think he'll be 5-1 or so, Steve. A couple of horses to the outside with both Will Call and Anguston, who banged heads at the Churchill meet. Anguston has really come along for Lon Wiggins, the son of Hal Wiggins of Rachel Alexander fame. And, by the way, it's been 20 years, 1998, since Hal was the leading trainer here at Keeneland, if you can remember back then. But I'm going with the 2-11-10 to start off the stakes on Saturday here at Keeneland.
Excellent. Let's go to the first of the Winning Your Ins from Saturday at Keeneland. It's the TCA, the Thoroughbred Club of America. And knowing that Hotshot Anna is not going to go forward, and Marty, the Filly and Mare Sprint is your coverage race, give us some thoughts about who we look toward here.
I kind of thought that Steve Asmussen would have run Me and Mischief as opposed to Vertical Oak. Vertical Oak just ran 3 weeks ago and won the Open Mind at Churchill. I thought that would have been her prep, but no, he switched it up, and Vertical Oak's in this race. Me and Mischief evidently will just train up to the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint. I think the two fillies who ran 1-2 here last fall in the Raven Run, they're now 4-year-olds, Miss Sunset and Challen, they're both going to run big. I've got it in that order, 3-9. You just can't. It's hard to overlook how well Miss Sunset has run here for Jeff Bondy with her victory in the, as I mentioned, the Raven Run, and then her big effort here behind Finley's Lucky Charm in the spring and the Grade One Madison. So 3-9 something for me.
Bondy actually invading with a handful of horses. His name came up this morning as I was going through a few different things. And in addition, I think we got to mention Golden Mischief, who's kind of alternating performances a little bit for Brad Cox. And, you know, Happy Alter, who seems to have got Curlin's approval, kind of moving back in a positive direction. I think either or could be a part of this.
Well, Golden Mischief, Brad has gone out of his way to run her at Iowa and West Virginia, and it's kind of hard to say how she's going to match up against these better horses. Curlin's approval, I'm off her bandwagon. I think she gets outfooted going the three quarters, which probably, as you know, won't discourage Happy Alter. He'll say, you know, the 7-8 will be a lot better for Dennis Churchill. So I don't expect Curlin's approval to win tomorrow. Golden Mischief, it wouldn't surprise me if she jumped up and ran a big one.
Let's get into the hot pick three, the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And the First Lady and the Shadwell both are terrific. Chad Brown, these are his kinds of races, and he certainly came in with a loaded wagon. But there are alternatives if you don't want to go that way. Some thoughts on the First Lady?
I guess there are some alternatives. But, you know, Chad was 1-2-3 in the Jenny Wiley here in the spring. He was 1-2-3 in some other race last fall, and he was 1-2-3 and almost 4 in the Beverly D. McPeak salvaged that with Daddy's Little Darling. He was the end of the superfecta. I mean, it's all Chad all the time in this division, is it not? I mean, you could go, I guess, to Crown Walk, who's kind of an unknown for Godolphin, or Donna Bruja, who's way better than that Beverly D effort, and even maybe La Sardane, who I was surprised that she was laid 15-1 on the morning line, as good as she's run. But otherwise, I've got her to Chad 10-2-3 in that order in the First Lady.
I will only mention that the effort of Valdorna in the ladies at Keeneland, her first time on turf, that was a real eye opener. And if she runs back to that, she could hang around. Valdorna feels like at the big price, 20-1, she feels like the horse that could interject herself in your deep exotics at a value. I'm going to just mention that effort by Insta Irma, of course, to win the ladies' turf at Kentucky Downs. She's also 20-1. So if you like the Kentucky Downs horses coming to Keeneland, there's your considerations at big numbers. Let's get to the Breeders' Futurity and the two-year-old Glamour Division, the boys. Dale Romans, to me, looking for what? His fourth in 5 years? Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't counted them up. Byron wrote about that race, so I've kind of diverted my attention. But, yeah, Dale's been a monster in this race, so he's got three of these 14 that go in. I happen to not have any of them anywhere. I'm going with the stranger in here, Steve, with the three-horse Fluminense for Asmussen. I know he doesn't have any two-turn experience, but he is well-drawn with Santana, who, again, another one of my underrated jocks nationwide. And then I'm going outside with the Chad Monster, 14 standard deviation. He's 10-1 on the line. I don't think so. And then Mind Control, the hopeful champion for Greg Sacco and Velasquez. I've got a 3-14-13, but man, I would not blame you for going in a number of different spots in here because this is a contentious group.
Well, and I just I pulled it up, and Free Drop Billy last year, who, by the way, announced yesterday both he and Bolt Doro heading to Spendthrift, Brody's Cause in 2015 as well. So Dale with two of the last three winners in the Breeders' Futurity, and then kick back to Doolahan in 2011 on the synthetic, and I also should note a horse that some people may have forgotten about, Dawn of War, the Ramsey horse that won the Breeders' Futurity back in 2005. I mean, Dale has won his share of Breeders' Futurities, and I'm very interested in Mr. Ankeny, the All-Bah Into Mischief colt that broke through at Ellis Park, and I happen to be sitting with Dale and Tammy as they watched Mr. Ankeny win, and the two turns should really be to his liking. The outside, as you mentioned, standard deviation and Mind Control, the Brunetti Sacco upsetter in the hopeful. They're going to have to hustle to save ground. I know some people seem to like Tobacco Road. He's getting plenty of mention. Sambaye as well. You're the first person, Mark, to point out Fluminense, and may have to look twice at that one. Let's get to the Shadwell, which is really terrific. This is as good as it gets.
I mean, I wrote something to the effect that if, you know, you're richest race that you meet is not necessarily your best, but this one sure seems like it. They're going to have a difficult time outdoing themselves with this. It's so deep from top to bottom. You've got 15-20-1 legit horses who are really nice milers. You start with Heart to Heart, Steve, but I just can't get over how he hit that dip in the Saratoga race on the off course. I think he's going to have a hard time getting away from the likes of a couple other speed horses in here, namely Bound for Nowhere, who will have to go from his outside hole. I think it sets up for a closer such as Almanar for Chad or Synchrony for Sid. I talked to Mike briefly yesterday about Synchrony, and he says he has not regressed in any way from his big efforts this summer. He thinks there's enough speed in here to set it up for him. So 11, 6, and then 9 from the three-year-old, analyze it for Chad, who, as we all know, had his hanging problems against Catholic Boy and then in the Secretariat, but maybe the mile hit him right between the eyes when he shortens back.
Can't argue with any of it, and it does feel like there's going to be plenty of pace in here with Heart to Heart, and you know, you got to bring up Voodoo Song and his presence, and you rightly identify Bound for Nowhere as well, the Wesley Ward. And a lot of that, Mart, because of the pace up front and the size of the field and how quickly the turn comes up off the break, it feels like there'll be some other horses prompting. So I think there's every opportunity for this to give way to a closer. There's a horse in here that happens to have be carrying a Keeneland win on a less than firm edition of the Keeneland course. It's Big Score. He hasn't won since last year's Transylvania. And he's going to be a 1,000-1. Tim Yachting shows up here, and it's not as if he has not been competitive under circumstances, you know, going back to the end of the Del Mar meet. He was beaten just a couple of lengths, fourth in the mile, and also a length in the Wicker. I'm playing big score somehow on my tickets, because he's going to get a setup, and I certainly don't mind Rafael Santana, Ricardo Santana, getting aboard. 30-1 and
yeah,
23 Skidoo.
He'll be 43-1. It's like Stidham said, though. I mean, if this melts down and whoever gets the trip from off of it, I mean, big score will be running late. I mean, you can be certain of that. So, very, very, very interesting race this Shadwell.
A quick glance ahead to Sunday as well, Mart. Let's touch on who's involved in here. The Indian Summer is the new two-year-old turf sprint that's going to feed into the Breeders' Cup. And kind of surprisingly, you got horses with plenty of experience in here. A lot of two- and three-start horses. I thought this would end up, you know, being some, you know, second timers and you know, some maiden types, but it ended up they got a nice group for this.
Yeah, you even got a maiden who's got a shot, number 12 All About It for George Weaver, ran big when well touted at Saratoga. And there's just I didn't know what to do with this race, Stephen. Same with the Bourbon later on, an hour later here on Sunday with its full field. I thought it was way wide open. There's a real interesting horse in the Bourbon by the name of Shazier, named for Ryan Shazier, the injured linebacker for the Steelers. He'll be carrying actual Steelers silks for Carlo Vacarez and his group. So I'll have a little note in about that in the Sunday editions. But both of these two-year-old turf races, both of them are winning their ends, even though the Indian Summer isn't even graded. That's the 5.5, and then they go a mile and a 16th in the Bourbon. Way, way, way wide-open races with an interesting maiden race is the seventh on Sunday in between.
Well, the Bourbon, War of Will, down inside Gary Barber and Mark Cassie, who was only overhauled late by Fog of War up at Woodbine, and of course they'll run the Mazarine tomorrow. You got Concrete Rose, a first out winner that was very impressive for Rusty Arnold at Saratoga, stretching out from the 5.5. There's a lot going on in here. Current for Pletcher and Eclipse and Partners, the nice Curlin Colt won the second start after Saratoga down to Belmont, going a mile. So this is a nice addition. And then the Spinster, the fillies and mares, and considering the wide open potential now with the late not running in the division, and Abel Tasman coming up sick the other day and laying an egg in the Zenyatta, it feels like the fillies and mares, Mart, might be a little bit more open. We got Monomoy Girl, obviously, and the three-year-olds and such, and there's a three-year-old presence in here, Eskimo Kisses. This is a gambit that Ken McPeak knows well.
Yeah, that's kind of the theme of my advance for this race on Sunday that I've been writing here this morning, is the pendulum has shifted in the filly mare division toward the three-year-olds. And we haven't had a three-year-old win the Spencer on the dirt since McPeak did it in 2002 when Take Charge Lady was still a three-year-old. She won it twice in 2002 and 2003. But it sure looks like the three-year-olds stand a great chance here, unless Blue Prize can jump up and win, or one of the other older fillies, such as Champagne Problems or Pacific Wind. But I think, really, Steve, all eyes will be on Eskimo Kisses. We all know that the Alabama kind of melted down, and, you know, even though she did run huge to win off by 6.5 lengths, the pace scenario really did favor her. And we're all anxious to see whether or not the same sort of scenario will unfold here Sunday with the Spencer.
Well, it feels like there's a decent pace in here with Southern Perfection for Paolucci, and Sassy Sienna has a tendency to maybe press pace a little bit. You know that Talk Verve to Me is going to be forwardly placed as well. Leperu, Brissette for Team Valor. Champagne Problem, Skeptic. There's enough pace in here, I think, to keep this thing, you know, pretty pretty much honest for anybody. So it should be fun.
Yeah, you would think so.
Mart, opening day at Keeneland, always special, and be watching on NBC both Saturday and Sunday, and following DRF McGee Hermes in your selection grid at DRF as well. Mart, thanks.
Talk soon, buddy. Thank you.
Marty McGee. Let's take a break. Standing by, Jay Pribman. We'll get particularly a classic look with Jay and anything else he wants to discuss. Jay Pribman joins us next. Later, we'll have a visit with Nick Tamaro, Nick Luck, Scully and DeRosa, Hammer, Dave Grenig, and LP3, Lafitte Benkai the Third. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you grow up, live it like a
back at the races, 15 to the top of the hour, and following DRF's Marty McGee with DRF's Jay Pribman, later DRF's Dave Grenig. It's the holy trinity of DRF track reporters.
I've got a tough act to follow, though, don't I?
He was good today. Mart was on point.
I'm glad. He better be. It's opening day of Keeneland. I mean,
right?
Time to cowboy up.
Exactly. Well, the same can be said with the kickoff last weekend, Jay. It was this time last week we talked, and the Santa Anita season was getting underway, and it certainly had its share of intrigue. You had a short-priced Abel Tasman misfire and come up a little sick, but we also had impressive two-year-old winners. Accelerate and West Coast did probably what Baffert and Sadler were hoping for, etc. We had the jump-up Claimer, Vasilika. It was a good day, really a good weekend of racing.
No, it really was. It was certainly an interesting weekend of racing. Like you said, there were some expected performances like Game Winner and Bellafina, both really continue to establish themselves as the leading contenders for the respective two-year-old races. But, you know, the distaff certainly looks a little different now. Abel Tasman's obviously a better horse, and if she runs her best race, she's with the late out of the race now, she's going to be the best older horse in there. And then you've got the fillies like Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bizu, but that was a belly flop what she did last week, and so we'll have to see how she bounces out of that and trains coming into the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and then the race that the awesome again was Accelerate and West Coast. You know, not Accelerate's best race, but he had to overcome a lot. He was really antsy in the gate. He didn't break well. He was wide the whole race and pretty much last into the first turn and had to make a big middle move and still gutted it out and won. But he can't make mistakes like that in the Breeders' Cup Classic or somebody's going to beat him. And certainly with West Coast, he was definitely short coming into the race, and he'll move forward off of that performance. But he's going to need to move forward off that performance in order to have a say-so in the outcome. So those horses will be really interesting to watch over the next 4 weeks or so to see how their breezes go coming into the big race.
Pause on the classic division. Of course, your coverage topic for DRF Breeders' Cup package, and give us a review of what you thought of what went on in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and Mind Your Biscuits, and I suppose Toast of New York's performance as well in the Lucas.
Well, the Jockey Club Gold Cup was obviously a complete pace meltdown with Diversify setting a torrid pace and Mendelsohn hot on his heels. I thought Thunder Snow, you know, ran a good race. Certainly Mendelsohn ran a good race under the circumstances. And Discreet Lover was the beneficiary of everything. And it was, you know, it was really neat to see Uriah St. Louis, who puts all his time and money into the game, get a major win like that. He's a really nice man, and nice to see people like that win, you know, a big race. A guy who's a small-time guy who based out of parks, he trains and owns his own horses, and that's really a neat thing. It's a neat accomplishment to have something like that happen. In terms of the, you know, what that means for the classic going forward, I mean, obviously, you know, if Diversify goes on to the race, and at the moment he's still in, he can't go at a pace like that, and I don't know what it means for Mendelsohn, because he just seems like he has to have the lead to run his best race. I mean, he ran well, but his best races have been on the lead. Thundersnow's race was solid. I like that they sent him straight to Churchill Downs to get used to the surroundings there. Hopefully he'll have a better experience than in the Derby a year and a half ago. And, you know, in terms of the race at Churchill Downs, you know, Mind Your Biscuits to me is a really fascinating horse. He's now won graded races from 6 furlongs up to 1 1/8 this year. They're debating what race to put him in, but the Classic is certainly the leading contender at the moment of between that, the Dirt Mile, and the Sprint. I can't imagine they cut him all the way back to the Sprint. And the Dirt Mile is not going to be an easy race with Catalina Cruiser and City of Light as well. So, plus it's a $1 million race, and the Classic is $6 million. And to me, he's earned his right to go there. He's proven he can run 2 turns. He just won over the track where they're going to win the Breeders' Cup, and he won impressively with a solid, you know, a big fig actually, of, you know, 1.08, which is of the three races we're talking about, the best fig run in those races. He's earned his right to run in that race, and I hope that's where they end up going with him, because I think he deserves it.
I tend to agree. I won't argue at all. Well, Jay, beyond that, back to the West Coast, and we've got a weekend that is kind of, you know, filling out the other divisions. Some thoughts about what we're looking at coming up the next 3 days.
Well, the two races, there's three stakes tomorrow. Two of them are win-and-you're-ins for the Breeders' Cup. And one that's really interesting as a win-and-you're-in is the Speakeasy, because they've got the new Breeders' Cup juvenile turf sprint race, and the Speakeasy is a win-and-you're-in for that race. And Leslie Ward, it looks like he's got a number of candidates for that race, sent his filly May Never Know out here for the Speakeasy, and she will probably go off favored in this race, I would think. So she's certainly worth watching. It'll be interesting to see how his two-year-old grass runners fare in other locales, especially at Keeneland this weekend, and to see how many he ends up with going into that race. The biggest race of the weekend is the San Anita Sprint Championship, which is also a win-and-you're-in for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. You've got the top couple sprinters on the West Coast this year, Ransom the Moon and Roy H. squaring off in this one. The Roy H. certainly merits all the respect in the world, being the defending race winner of the Breeders' Cup Sprint, the defending male champion sprinter, but I don't know if he's quite as good as he was last year. He's still obviously good enough to win the race and maybe good enough to win the Breeders' Cup Sprint, but I don't know if he's quite as good as he was last year, and he was really good last year. So while he can win, I think Ransom the Moon, who just beat him, the Ben Crosby, is going to really be the one to beat in this race. And even Edwards going left is, Edwards going left is run well at this track, but obviously Ransom the Moon and Roy H are the top two of that division. And then the City of Hope Mile, you've just got the same group that kind of takes turns beating one another. Fly to Mars and Sharp Samurai are the top two local horses in here, but I'm really intrigued by White Flag, who's just shipped in for Christophe Clement. He's never gone a full two-turn race in his life. He's pretty much been a sprinter. He did run a one-turn mile at Belmont in the third start of his career back in May of 2017. But his three races this year, I think, have all been really good. I thought he ran a strong race at Kentucky Downs last time. And I think it's a good spot to take a shot going two turns in here. And I think he's got a big, big chance. So those are the three stakes on Saturday. There's two on Sunday, the most significant being the L.A. Women's Stakes, which is for female sprinters. And this is a division that's a little soft out here in terms of who's running in this specific race. There's some really good ones based out here with Marley's Freedom and Dream Tree, but they're both training straight up to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. And the horse that I'm really interested in here is Anonymity, who I thought was on a trajectory to be a real player in this division, and she just bounced last time when she ran back on 2 weeks rest in the Rancho Bernardo. She's been freshened since then. She's trained well coming into this race, and to me this is the make-or-break race for her to show that she belongs as a potential major player in the Filly and Mare Sprint, because I think she's got it in her. And I just think circumstances prevented her from running up to her potential last time. But there shouldn't be any excuses coming into this race, having had a month and a half since her last start. And obviously I'd like to see Sky Diamond run well. I have some friends who have been involved with her since they claimed her, and she's done really well for them. I don't think she's quite as good as she was a year ago, but she's obviously still very effective at this level, and I'm sure she'll give another good account of herself. But Anonymity is the one that I'm really interested in on Sunday in the LA Woman.
Well, and then today Hammer will take the entries for the girls and boys 2-year-old turf races, and both the Zuma Beach and the Surfer Girl should be fun. I suppose that Summering is the something of the watch filly, the 2-for-2 Proctor Glen Hill homebred that is by Warfront, and given the performance of Newspaper of Record last weekend, Jay, it feels like there might be a collision course for these two fillies.
Yeah, Summering, her two races at Del Mar were both quite good. Newspaper of Record's race, though, was pretty wild. I mean, I think she's acknowledged as the favored for that race, for that Breeders' Cup race right now off that performance the other day.
Absolutely, and we'll see about the boys' side of things, where there seems to be some room for an emergence. Other than that, Jay, the maiden watch continues, and there's some horses that'll bubble up to the surface. May not be in time for Breeders' Cup, but it really, I love scouring the PPs daily now that we're underway at Santa Anita, watching for the next nice maiden. Improbables win, of course, that was hinted at last weekend, and I got to mention dueling. I brought dueling up with Jerry Hollendorfer on Wednesday, and he was excited.
No, dueling, I think getting to go a longer distance is certainly going to be a benefit to him, and he won nicely in Probable. There's been a really good, as we talked about during the summer at Del Mar, I thought the two-year-old racing out here this summer was terrific, and we've seen it in terms of the races last week with Bellafina and Game Winner both coming back off their grade one wins in the Del Mar Futurity and Del Mar Debutante and winning on the stretch out, and I think being considered the favorites for their respective races, as we were talking moments ago. It just shows how strong the group is out here, and yet, as you're pointing out, I mean, we've still had horses coming in behind them that could be interesting players going into the late part of the year in terms of races like the Los Alamitos Futurity, and then, of course, we're going to have our eyes on all of these horses come next spring as we get closer to the Derby time.
Exactly, and some of the other sidebars from opening weekend and into this week, Stormy Liberal's performance, and actually Conquest Tsunami as well. Peter Miller looks like he's heading to back to Breeders' Cup with a strong hand on turf and dirt when it comes to the sprint side. And there was one other that. I wanted to let you follow up on my visit with Michael McCarthy, the Liam the Charmer performance, and just in general, McCarthy has had an obvious breakout year, Jay, and people got to be noticing from coast to coast.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, well, he really had a strong summer of 2017 at Del Mar, and I think that's kind of just continued to carry over. So we all know his background, having worked, a lot of people in California knew him even before he went off east for a decade to work for Todd Pletcher. He's come back here and he's steadily built up his barn. And Liam the Charmer, here's a horse who came off a lengthy layoff and is now 2-for-2 since that layoff and since being gelded. So he's certainly in the best form of his long career. He's got City of Light, who's going to be a major player in the Dirt Mile. Vibrance ran a nice second last week behind Bellafina in the two-year-old filly race, the Chandelier, and I think she'll go on to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies race. And Pave ran a nice second behind Basilica. I mean, she just missed in that race in the Rodeo Drive. So, and that's just off the top of my head. Obviously, you've got Axelrod, too, who we had that story earlier in the week about his sale to Phoenix Thoroughbreds, and the Classic is under consideration for him. We'll see how he trains. Phoenix will start making the calls on what's going to happen with that colt, but he's certainly come a long ways with a couple of grade three wins before this nice second place finish behind McKenzie in the Pennsylvania Derby in his last start. And even if he bypasses the Breeders' Cup, I'm not saying he will, but there's other options for him too. I mean, you could look at a race, you could cut him back to the Cigar Mile, you could look at a race like the Clark, for instance, and going down the line, you've got the Pegasus out there for a horse like that at a mile and an eighth. So, and he's going to stay in training at four, so he's got all of next year as well. So he's a horse for McCarthy that we should see do some good over over the next few months as well. So you're right, he's got a nice barn.
I'll also mention, as we wrap up with Jay, that Jack Carava, who had a rough first half of the year, started to get hot at Del Mar, continued through Los Al, and two wins on Saturday. And Jack Carava, who knows how to win, seems like his horses have to be given a little extra consideration here as the Santa Anita autumn season hits its second weekend.
Yeah, that cold streak he was on was just, I mean, it was hard to fathom. And but he was really snake bit in a lot of races. He had so many races where he got beaten photos during that losing streak that lasted a few months. But he finally got a break at Del Mar, and now he's back winning at an expected level for him. So it's finally evening out. But it was strange how he just couldn't catch a break for a few months there.
It happens. It happens to the best of them, and Jack is in evidence because he certainly knows how to win. And I was very happy to see those two wins on Saturday for him, and he's got three in here the next couple of days. Jay, it's getting hot and starting to really put pieces in place. I see that the Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority since
1894.
Has released the BC Contender PPs. So
yes,
get at it, kids. start your work, and Jay will continue to help you as we move inexorably toward Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs. Jay, have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. I was going to say about those Breeders' Cup PPs, one of the really fun things I like about getting them is that we publish the lifetime PPs for every horse. So,
right.
A horse like Mind Your Biscuits, for instance, you can look at the whole story arc of his career. It's not just his last 10 or 12 starts. And that's always, for me, a lot of fun to look at. It's, the horses that have been around a while, and you can go back and, I forgot he did that, and look at their whole career as opposed to just their last year and a half or so of racing.
Absolutely, and in some cases, there'll be horses that had, run in races at Churchill, and that is valuable, further back, and there's so much to look forward to. I have not printed them out. I got the notice right before we came on the air, and I will be hard at work all weekend and enjoying it and watching the NBC telecast on Saturday and Sunday. Jay, I will talk to you next week.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much.
Jay Pribman, DRF Pribman, everybody. Top of the hour upon us. Let's turn it around and come back and talk to Nick Tamaro, Nick Luck, Dave Grenig, Hammer, Scully DeRosa, and Lafitte Pinkeye III. Hour two at the Races Weekend Preview. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories?
and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.